The Chinese government is determined to root out perceived disloyalty among its Uyghur Muslim population. That's why authorities have rounded up hundreds of thousands of Uyghurs and other Muslims in Xinjiang province in western China. A newly leaked document sheds some light on who's being sent to the camps and why. Adrian Zenz is a scholar who studies Xinjiang. He says Muslims have been imprisoned simply because they applied for a passport, grew a beard, or wore a veil. Zenz says the documents also detail how the Chinese spy on the Uyghurs.
One of the most important insights of this new leaked document is how labor-intensive the re-education campaign is and how much of this information is gathered by teams often composed of Han Chinese government officials who are forced, often against their will, to visit Uyghur families, spend extensive amounts of time with them, even sleep with them, and get a personal information which they often then enter into a smartphone app.
Johar Ilham has been the victim of this kind of surveillance. She's the daughter of an imprisoned Uyghur scholar, Ilham Toti. Father and daughter were separated in 2013 at Beijing Airport as they prepared to travel to the U.S. Johar was 18 years old at the time. Chinese authorities sentenced her father to life in prison, and she hasn't seen him since.
I don't know where my father is. I don't know if he has been relocated to another prison. I don't know if he has been transferred to a camp. I don't even know if he's alive.
What has it been like for you living with that uncertainty? Because you lost contact with him in 2017. The last time you saw him, right, was 2013. What is that like?
Before coming to the U.S., I've never been apart from my family. Then I came here. I was able to Skype with my dad for 11 months. Before he was officially detained, we used to talk three times a day. We Skype three times a day, morning, noon, and night before we go to bed, just to make sure one of us is not suddenly taken away or killed. I still miss being able to talk to my family.
Are you outside of China on your own? Do you have other family members with you who are no longer there?
I am the only person in my family that were able to come to the U.S.
Johar, we've heard about China's use of mass surveillance to monitor and control everyone. Police on the street have access to a massive database that they can access through their handheld devices. Yes. If you're on the street in Western China and the police suspect you of something, how much can they learn about you?
Everyone has to give in their phones at the checkpoint, and there is one checkpoint every few blocks. Actually, my cousin, the daughter of my uncle, she was arrested a few years ago, arrested and sentenced to 10 years. They found my father's photo and his article in her phone. The police asked her, "Why do you have this terrorist information in your phone?" And she said, "He's my uncle. Why can't I have it?" And that was the reason that she was sentenced to 10 years.
How common are examples like that?
It is very common. Families who are overseas, each person, they have at least 1 to 10 family members are locked up in concentration camp. One of a young folk that I met a few weeks ago, he has 76 family members who are sent to concentration camps. People ask, what's the reason they've been sent? Can be any reason. It can be because the women can be dressing such a long skirt. That could be the reason. Maybe because you have a long beard. That could be a reason. Maybe you just simply hold a passport. That could be another reason. Or you talk to your family members overseas. That could be another reason.
We've also heard that some Uyghur homes in Xinjiang are required to have barcodes at the entrance. Is that true? And what data is embedded in those barcodes?
It's not some homes. Almost every household has to do that. So any policeman, if they want to come and gather your information, it's like going to a Zara store. They go in front of the door and scan the QR code in front of your door, and the police can even have access to the electronic usage of your identification number, your name, your age, every information they want. And people, when they want to go back home, they have to scan it. When they go out, they have to scan it. So if there's other person visiting, you have to report it to the community center in order to have guests coming. And if you have too many guests coming, that's considered as a suspicious act.
And too many guests would suggest what to authorities?
Maybe you're gathered for discussing religious extremism. They could charge you for anything without an evidence.
Just as a reality check, I mean, do you wonder how many religious extremists there are among the Uyghur Muslims?
I don't know. But what the Chinese government is claiming, one is they are training people, teaching them skills to make them have a better life so they can have better incomes. They've learned how to fold sheets and put on pillowcases or wash clothes. So far, there are more than 1 million people. Do they all need to learn how to fold pillowcases, how to fold bed sheets? Some people have been detained are medical doctors and comedians, soccer players, singers, and professors. All of them have decent jobs. Are those people all extremists? Do they need vocational training? So I think what the Chinese government have been claiming, they're just excuses.
Uyghur activist Johar Ilam speaking with us from the 2020 Geneva Summit for Human Rights and Democracy, where she's one of the featured speakers. Johar, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.